Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to RD People Health and Wellbeing conference call to discuss its third quarter of 2017 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.rd.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of RD management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of RD and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcilio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio De Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcilio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the presentation of results for the third quarter 2017 RD. As always, we'll present the slides and results, and we are before the Q&A, and we'll take any questions. Eugênio, please.
Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the third quarter 2017 earnings call of RD. We're very happy to present the highlights of another very strong quarter for the company. We ended the period with 1,554 stores. We opened 54 units in the quarter and closed six. Our gross revenue reached 3.6 billion. We grew 17.4% or 7.6% for same-store sales. Our gross margin reached 28.5%, a pressure of 100 basis points, and our EBITDA grew. Our EBITDA totaled 296.5 million, 8.3% of EBITDA margin, flat over the third quarter 2016. What happened here is that our comps in terms of gross margins from last year had a very high inflationary gain residue that represented a very high comp base. In spite of losing 100 basis points in gross margin, we were able to dilute expenses and have a flat EBITDA at a very high level, which I think is a big win for the company. Our net income totaled 136.5 million, 3.8% of net margin, an increase around 17%. Finally, we generated 102 million in free cash flows and 103 million in total cash flow in the quarter. On page four, we can discuss here about the expansion. We opened a total of 54 stores in the quarter, reaching 1,554 stores in total. We also closed six stores during the period. When you look over the year, we have opened so far a total of 150 stores, and we reiterate the guidance of 200 stores for the year. What this shows is that our expansion is taking place at a very regular pace, almost like 50 stores per quarter. This has been a very linear expansion, and it shows the level of control that the company has nowadays over our pace of openings. When you look here on the right, the structure of the store portfolio, you see that maturing stores, they account for more than 36% of the total base. This is the greenest store portfolio since the second quarter 2013. We have a lot of maturation potential ahead of us, even more so than in previous quarters. On page five, we see here the breakdown of our expansion. We have now 730 higher stores, 800 Drogasil stores around the country. I'd like to highlight here that in São Paulo, we have already 875 stores, and we keep opening stores with great results. We have 112 stores in Rio, it's also a crucial market. And the most impressive, even though we have been in the Northeast for about 5 years, we have already 127 stores in the region, and many, many more stores coming in our pipeline. When we look at market share, our national market share grew by 60 basis points, with growth of 40 bps in São Paulo, 30 bps in the Southeast, 60 bps in the South, and 120 bps in the Northeast. The only market where we lost market share was in the Midwest, where we fell down by 30 bps. What happened here is that in Brasília, we were operating last year versus a competitor in deep distress who had no merchandise in the store. And after they were acquired by Profarma, they obviously are in a better shape. They have inventories. So as catchy as they may be on their capacity to make money, the reality is that the stores are better than they were. So we lost some of the revenues we acquired, but we're still way ahead in revenues per store today than we were when the distress started. So the bulk of the competitivity we gained, we are retaining that. But as far as growth, it's been tougher, and it will be until we see a calm base considering the current set of operations. On page 6, we can see here our revenue growth by segment. So of the 17.4% consolidated revenue growth, our retail operations grew 16.3%, but for bio grew an impressive 53% over a comp base when they had only for bio had already grown, I think, more than 90% same quarter last year. So this is an impressive growth. So the total consolidated revenues reached 3,580,000,000. The highlight in terms of retail categories has been OTC by far. So we had a very strong flu season, and OTC grew 60 bps in the mix. The other categories lost a little bit, 10 bps for hygiene personal care, and 20, both for generics and brand life. This is a statistical effect. If one thing grows, the mix becomes zero sum, so something has to go down. But the growth we've seen in brand, the generics, and HPC has been healthy growth. So the effect here is a stellar performance of HPC. It's also great to see that after several quarters in which HPC was coming down due to the macro and due to cross-channel competition, we are now seeing that stabilize. So this is a result of several actions of the company in terms of focusing on categories that were not doing well, on increasing promotion, on investing prices when needed, as well as the fact that we're now looking for a comp base that already reflected all the process. So we have we came down for several quarters and now we have stabilized. On page 7, we see that total revenue growth was 17.4%, while mature stores grew 3.5% ahead of inflation, which was 3% in the period, and same-store sales grew 7.6%. We have a slightly negative calendar effect of 10 bits worse than same quarter last year. But having said that, we are dealing with a weaker comp base, because exactly at the same point next year, the Olympic Games in Rio was taking place. So that this will affect the sales the same quarter next year, and this will help us grow ahead of inflation. I don't think our reality right now is growing much stronger ahead of inflation. We were happy with our around inflation. Even there will be so many stores and cannibalization takes place. On page 8, we can look at our gross margins. We had a gross margin of 28.5% for the quarter, 100 bps lower than the same quarter last year. And there's nothing wrong with this quarter. What happened is that because of the 12% price increase last year, there was a 70 bps residue left on the third quarter, which boosted gross margins to 29.5%, which is not a it's not a usual margin for the third quarter. It's more comparable to the second quarter margin. So we had that 70 basis pressure that actually did not this year, but it's a comp base. We had a negative pressure from ProBio of 30 basis. This is a mixture of mix effect with margin pressure and with inflationary residue for that as well. We had a negative net present value adjustment pressure of 30 bits, but we had 30 bits in other dilutions that helped us offset some of those pressures. So overall we lost 30 bits, and this was what we expected. When we look at the cash cycle, we had a pressure of 1.7 days. What happened is that we just opened our DC in Bahia. So we have an initial inventory overlap between Brasilia and Recife. So over the next quarters, now that Brasilia is fully stocked, we'll see the Recife inventory is going down and this trend accommodates. But having said that, this kind of oscillation at this magnitude is also kind of normal. The quarters are not exactly the same. And then, on the next page, we see really what was the highlight for the company in the quarter, which is expense dilution. If on the one hand we saw 100 basis gross margin pressure, mostly from the seasonal aspect, that is transitory aspect, we see a very strong structural dilution on operating expenses. And this is probably an unprecedented level of efficiency gain. So we reduced expenses by 100 basis. So corporate expenses fell down by 10 bits, labor expenses fell down by 50 bits, pre-operational 10 bits, marketing 10 bits, supplier 10 bits, acquiring fees 10 bits. We saw rentals pressure still 10 bits, but it's a much lower pressure now than what we have seen over the previous quarters. What happens now is that the IGPM has been negative. So opposite to what happened last year, every contract that gets readjusted, the prices are actually coming down. So I would expect it to be neutral on rentals by the end of the year or latest in the first quarter of next year. I don't know if you can gain on rentals, but to the very least, I think these pressure can be offset. So it is actually happening what we had predicted and what we have been talking about over the next 2 quarters. But it's also interesting to compare on a sequential basis versus the second quarter 17. We had 40 weeks lower expenses than in the previous quarter, which was already a great moment. So we gained 10 bits on G&A versus last quarter, 10 bits in rentals, which is coming down, 10 bits in electricity, usually the seasonal, because second quarter you probably have more conditions than this quarter. And we have a less store and store write-offs also as a case. Then, on the next page, putting it all together, we had 100 bps seasonal margin pressure for the reasons I already mentioned, which was fully offset for structural expansion dilution. So this really sets the base for us to keep expanding margins over the next quarters. This is I don't know if we'll carry exactly the same level of expense dilution that we have now, but certainly we are a much lower expense basis than we were last year, or even that we were 2 or 3 quarters ago. When we break the data here by segment, our retail operations made 294 million in the beginning of the quarter. This is 30 bits higher than the third quarter 16. But it's important to mention that the net present value adjustment, which is a non-cash adjustment, represented a 30 bits margin pressure because interest rates are now lower than they were last year, so the gain is smaller. So if you compare on a cash margin basis, our retail operations did 50 bits better than the same stage last year, in spite of the gross margin effect that I mentioned here. For buying 2.5 million in the quarter, and with a margin of 1.8%. So we have a also a seasonal gross margin pressure. But here, because Fobio has grown so much, we're seeing competitors trying to stop market share loss and being more aggressive. But our game right now is gaining market share and is building a lesson for the future. We are not trying to optimize margins in the short term. So we are defending our market share, we keep defending our market share, and it's important that we become the dominant player here and the margin will come in the longer term. This is how we think about the market. Page 11, our net margin was flat at 3.8%, which means that net income grew around 17% in the year. And by page 12, we generated a free cash flow of 102 million reais in the quarter, and a total cash flow of 103 million in the quarter. When we look year to date, we are negative at 118 million, and we maintain a similar, a slightly larger net debt to be that than last year, but still a very, very, very healthy and positive number for the quarter. And on page 13, you see that our shares appreciated by 7.2% in the quarter. But when we look long term, those who invested at the Brazil IPO have seen an internal rate of return of 29% in the shares they bought. Those invested in Rye IPO have gained an internal rate of return of 33.6% since the end of 2010. And believe me, there we see still several investors who entered at those IPOs and haven't touched their shares. These are the guys that made more money on us. I'll pass you my figure, and then I'll be back to talk about the investor relations highlights before we go to training. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Eugenio. What if you can talk about the quarter, okay? I think you had a very, very good quarter for us. We're proud about the quarter. Because of why we are proud about this quarter, because if you compare with last year, we had two different points that's important to stress here. First is the high price cap. Last year was completely different from the past. We had less the price cap better than inflation. And the other we had last year, very weak competition environment. We are much more difficult competition this year, okay? We had a very big competition last year in the Midwest and Northeast. We had a big problem, and this year is much better. Then, the sales for this class, we know it will be very difficult. Then we work very, very strong during the year to do this class better. What we did, okay? The expansion plan, we opened 212 stores if you look in the last 12 months. We still open stores with very, very strong basic sales, the same level in the past. This shows for us the strength of our value proposition for business. We know how difficult to open stores and how the influence in expenses and the distracted people in the company just open stores. And you can open 50 stores per quarter without being a problem for us. We also did a record expense dilution. I think it's the best expense in our history. We started to work in expenses in the beginning of 2016. And we worked very, very close, not only just to cut the expense, but to close it, to look for the NPS, to call it endometrial, to keep the same set level that we had in the past. Better than this, we achieved our record in NPS in the end of September. This showed for us that cut expense not only fire people, not only cut easy expenses. Cut expenses help work with more productivity, and this is very, very good for the quarter. Even we have to reduce expenses, we have to give up some strategies for the future. And we never gave up the strategies for the long-term strategies, okay? Then for this quarter, we launched the Raia Brasil program, loyal program, and all the stores in all the country. We are using Belgium data much more strongly than the past, and we believe it will help us in the future also. We closed the new Brazil store in the size. It's a huge upgrade in the format. It has better differentiation by cluster. We know how to achieve better the low-income people and how to achieve better the high-income people. You can see very, very different in this when we look inside the stores, and improved a lot the value proposition of the brand with the better experience in the all the used items. Then the new Brazil energy will help us for the future. We enter a new market. Ceará is a very important market for us. It's part of our strategy to close all the non-profit states, okay? Ceará is very, very important market because we have a very strong competitor like Pagmenos and also Extra Pharma. So two good companies doing a very good job there. And we open four stores there, doing very well. Show for us that, again, our value proposition for stores is very strong for all the parts of the country. And we close the start to work with the new pricing platform. We stage the implementation. We know that this is a journey, not start right now. We can improve the margin, not only margin, to increase the margin, but increase the competitiveness in the market for the next 4 quarters. And this will help us to be more competitive and to gain shares and even to gain some margin for our business. Then we are very proud about this quarter. We know it's difficult to make good results when you have more competitors and you don't have any help for changing the prices. Then we know how to do that. We are very efficient and very proud of the business. I'll go to Eugene again, and then we'll be here for the answers. Okay, thank you.
So, I'd like just to stress some of the investor relations highlights here. We should publish the 2017 results on February 22nd, 2018. The main thing I'd like to call your attention is the RD Day in 2017. This will happen on November 10th, 8 a.m. in São Paulo, at a place named Casa Bizucci. And this will be the one event in the year where we made all our management available for you, that you can make all your questions. When we can really delve into a much higher level of detail on all the initiatives the company has developed. So I know that for whoever doesn't live in Brazil, it's not easy coming to Brazil on a specific date, but I can promise you this will be worth. We can talk a lot about operations, tremendous visibility, start providing an outlook for next year, and really the store opening guidance for 2018 as well. So I think this is an opportunity not to be missed, in my opinion. And finally, we have a very busy IR timetable coming forward. So November 14th to 15th, Gabriel, myself in New York at the Bradesco CEO Forum. November 28th to 30th, we'll be attending the JP Morgan conference in Brazil, São Paulo. January 8th and 9th, Marcelo and Gabriel will be at the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference in San Francisco. And January 10th to 12th, Marcelo and Gabriel will be at the Latin Conference of Morgan Stanley in Miami. So, without further ado, let's open for your questions. Thank you.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. Mr. Luciano Campos from Bradesco BBI would like to pose a question.
Good afternoon, Eugenio. Good afternoon, Marcílio. I have two questions here. The first one is about the selling expenses, the dilution. Regarding this SG&A dilution, I would like to be, to focus more on the personal expenses one. Can you remind us, the main drivers for this dilution of personal expenses that we are observing right now? Why they became so relevant now and were not that relevant 1 or 2 years ago when the company was already growing a lot? And a second part of this question, actually a recurring one that I asked you in the second quarter, is about the topic, if you guys have a chance to make progress in understanding how the flexibility introduced by the labor reform can help you to gain even more efficiency in this personal expenses line. That's my first question. Thank you.
Okay, Luciano, thanks for the question. I'm not sure I understood the second question. I'll start with the first. And if I don't answer your second, by default, you react, please. So, I mean, the great thing about selling expenses is that this is not a cost-cutting program. This is not us forcing something. We don't work this way. We don't have a low-cost mentality. We are not a supermarket. We are a service business. And one of the paradoxes is that we have probably the most expensive stores in Brazil. If you look at the size you take, how much key money you pay, the rentals you pay, the people we have. So we are by no means a low-cost retailer. We are a service retailer, very differentiated. But having said that, as we have the highest revenues per store in the country, this translates into the lowest expenses in the market as a percentage of revenues. So this is our mindset. We're not doing something just because we have a pressure in the quarter. Our main challenge in 2017 is named 2016, but we are not doing any gimmicks with expenses just because of that. We're doing things. This is we're seeing the materialization of several initiatives that were already underway. When you think about labor expenses, there is a slight reduction in headcount, but the main thing is the average cost by employee coming down, because we have a labor cost increase of 3%, and we have also optimized our career grade. So we have been able, during the crisis, to reduce the entry salary for some positions, to extend the period between certain promotions, to identify overpaid employees who had a salary ahead of the average but who didn't perform, and then substitute them. So we looked at there, we improved our staffing algorithm. So there is a combination of several initiatives. We discussed those initiatives in the RD Day last year, and we made touch again on them last year. So we have now stabilized. If you compare second quarter personnel as a percentage of revenues with the third quarter now, it's flat. So we dropped significantly, but then we stabilize at this level. So it's great to see that it's being done in a very sustainable way. And we're setting the stage to see margin expansion next year.
And if you look at the expense, advice expense only to reduce costs. We look at things, how to be more productive. We look for the labor, for example, it's not only strike people, have to train better, work with turnover, understand better the people needs, then the people can be more productive for us and can sell better. If you look at our store sells better than the stores for the competition. This is a big difference in looking at the expense between us and our competition, and between us and the other retailers.
The second and last question on my side, at least. You already comment a little bit of competition and what happened in the Midwest. I noticed also in at least on a sequential basis, a very tiny change in your market share in the São Paulo market as well, comparing second quarter with third quarter. My question to you is broadly, in terms of competition, the sense that we have is that some competitors were either weak in terms of balance sheet or in terms of operating standards like inventory or whatever that is so important for the operation of these competitors. And now with declining interest rates, we see at least an attempt to reorganize. Can you comment on this if you are already witnessing a different level of competition, different response from your competitors in specific regions or in all the regions that you're already playing? That's the question. Thank you.
Okay, Luciano, thank you. It's just as a warning, I mean, comparing IMF data on a sequential basis is very difficult because there's a lot of sell-in in the data, for example. All wholesalers report sell-in to pharmacies and not sell-out. So when you look 12-month period, those noises are taken out, they are offset, they are neutralized. But when you look month-on-month, quarter-on-quarter, you have to be very, very careful because it's not that accurate. But it shows on a longer term, it's a very good metric. I mean, what we see is that we have competitors getting better. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Obviously, the case of the former Brazil Pharma, it's probably the most important one and the most relevant one, because obviously they sold the company to Profarma in the Midwest. They had no inventories, and now the stores are better operated. I mean, I'm still very skeptical of the capacity to make money. Obviously, you put inventories there, and the sales go up. But the first movement is easy. The first movement is to keep going up, is to reclaim customers who have migrated and who are now much better served than they ever were, either by us or by Doleira São Paulo or by Padroeiros, for example. So in that case, it's a more clear pressure. And we see that on the market share. The market has really come down to a certain extent. That's a reality. In the Northeast, the same happened, but then it was not a zero-sum game like in Brasilia. Santana and Big Ben were one of the players in the Northeast, and not the player in the Northeast. And obviously, but we have other competitors who were not suffering, but they're doing a better job. So in that sense, everybody is getting better. But the good news is that we're not complacent, we're not sitting and looking, we're not doing nothing. I mean, we have a big agenda of improvement, of execution improvement. Marcelo touched on some of those things, like pricing. And better pricing doesn't mean necessarily becoming more expensive, but it means going out of a one-size-fits-all approach and really customizing the price category by category, store by store. As an example, if you compare our prices in Jardins in São Paulo for a certain HPC item with the prices in a very low-income neighborhood, the Rio de Janeiro, they're probably very similar. And that's a wrong approach, because you can charge more in a more service-oriented neighborhood, and you have to charge less in a more elastic neighborhood. In some categories, elasticity is higher than in others. So we believe the pricing project will allow us to grow our gross profit. This means making opportunistic gains in some categories and markets, but reinvesting prices in other categories and markets. So this is part of getting better and getting more competitive. We launched a new loyalty program. For Raya, it's an upgrade. For Drogazil, it's a revolution. Drogazil didn't have smart coupons or things like that. So it's a big upgrade. The new Drogazil 4-store identity is a huge upgrade as well. So as we roll that to more and more stores, I think this will impact how consumers perceive our stores. This can grow the revenue per share, for example, the revenue per store. So there are a lot of initiatives in improvement. So yes, the others are getting better, no doubt about that. But we are getting better as well.
Very clear, Eugenio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I have a question here, going to the loyalty program and the rollout and the Drogazil brand. I'd like to understand what are the initial takeaways there, so in terms of activation rates of the coupons, and when we look also at the attendometer, how things are evolving when you look at Drogazil and how do you compare to Raya in terms of net promoting score. And lastly, as you pointed out, you're refurbishing many Drogazil stores. I'd like to understand if you can share with us a little bit the productivity gains from those refurbishments. Thank you.
Okay, Joseph. I'll start with the last one. I mean, I cannot share the gains because we have had only a small number of stores under the new format very small time period. So we don't even have the data on that. And even a lot of the stores who are now placing the new form, they're new stores, so we can't compare. So we still have a small number of renovations. We have to see more renovations and for a longer time for us to understand the effects. And even that is not necessarily linear, because for example, obviously the most important is the visual identity, but there are stores that we're improving layout as well. So if you have a store that had a bad layout, the gain is very meaningful. If you have a store that the layout was already good. The store was well conserved. Then yes, you have a better identity, but it's not as high a gain as in the case of a store with a bad layout. So there's not a magic number that I can just drop here. In terms of the loyalty program, I mean, as I mentioned, for Drogasil is a revolution, because Drogasil didn't have as much coupons. If you look at our HPC metrics, I mean, this is the first quarter HPC is doing well after several quarters going down and down and down. This has to do with higher promotional intensity driven by the loyalty program. So we are seeing that effect in Drogasil. When we compare the comps on the front store, Drogasil versus Raya, because Raya simply got a better algorithm and Drogasil got a new program that didn't have, Drogasil has higher comps on the front door now than Raya has. So the effects, they're clearing the numbers to be seen. But again, I think time is important to allow pressure to get used to that and for that to become a driver of higher loyalty as well, not only higher basket. And finally, we are seeing a constant reduction in the percentage of negative evaluations. So the Net Promoter Score is getting better. Both brands are very similar. And so it shows that even with a slightly lower headcount, we really got efficiency, and we are not making margin at the expense of our customers.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press star 1. This will be the final announcement. In order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. There appears to be no further questions. Now, I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Okay, I'd like to thank you all for attending the conference call. So, I mean, it's great to look at the company and see how the company is getting better structurally. Despite of what the company share was or not, when we look at the quarter and we understand where we are, I mean, this is the important thing. I think sometimes it's easy for investors sometimes to be myopic and to obsess about things like quarter versus quarter, or things like consensus, and lose sight on where we are as far as time and as far as margin. I mean, this is the highest EBITDA margin on a non-seasonal quarter, meaning highest structural EBITDA margin in the company's history. So, with a level of expenses that is unprecedented, and that if you pretty much slightly lower or higher extent, we will carry forward. So this is really setting the stage for us to expand margins to some extent next year. So this is what's important. And again, we are now at a cycle in which gross margin gains may happen here or there, but we're being on the best place to gain, which is efficiency, which is expense dilution. When we look at the margins, we are reinvesting margins when we need, for example, more promotion, loyalty, the loyalty program, and things like that. We are also looking in some markets where we can improve margins, but we're doing with our prices what's best in each location. And this is what will optimize the value going forward. But we have a big expense dilution to support it and to maintain very healthy economics. So I'd like to thank you all for attending the call, for your support as long-term shareholders. I'd like to reinforce the invitation to our analyst day. I think those who take the time and make the trip won't regret. We can provide a much different level of visibility, very different level, as compared to just a normal call or a normal one-on-one meeting that we have in those conferences where we meet. So it's a great experience. It's an experience not to be missed. We'll have simultaneous translation. So if you're able, take the time, make the effort, and come for the rest of the day. Thank you very much.
RD's conference call is finished. Have a nice day.